Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're diving into Roku after the company reported its quarterly earnings results last week. And the idea here is to help figure out if the streaming TV company is going to be a powerhouse of the 2020s and whether or not investors should consider buying Roku stock after they reported their quarterly results. But before we get into everything, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And make sure to check out our new zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. Alrighty, so Roku reported its Q4 fiscal 2019 financial results on Thursday, February 13th, and the stock fell over 6% on Friday. And this is despite initially surging after it first reported. So Roku, people pronounce it differently. I pronounce it Roku, reported a narrower than expected Q4 loss of 13 cents per share. And its revenue climbed 49% to over $411 million to comfortably beat our Zacks estimate. So in order to figure out why the stock is down after what would seem to be a somewhat solid report, we need to dive into a little bit more of the company overall, as this will also help anyone who maybe is a little unsure about what Roku does to see if it's a solid investment going forward. So Roku is famous for its small devices that plug into TVs that allow users to watch streaming TV content from the likes of Netflix to basically countless other any other company or service that offers a streaming TV device or streaming TV platform in any way. Roku's pitch to Wall Street remains really stronger than it has been as more and more people drop cable, cut the cord. For instance, 1.7 million consumers cut the cord during the third quarter of 2019 alone, which continues to impact the likes of Comcast and AT&T and other cable providers. Overall, roughly 56 million households will have canceled cable or satellite TV subscriptions by 2023, and this is according to eMarketer. So more and more people are just going to be getting rid of cable over the next 5 years or so. So along with its small devices, of which it sells different versions, Roku also currently sells multiple streaming TVs, and its devices and its TVs compete against rival offerings from Amazon, Google, and Apple as part of a growing market of these streaming TV devices. And it sells its streaming TV devices. They're called Roku TVs. That's what they refer to them in all their releases. And it's their operating system built into TVs from different companies. Those are widely popular these days. And their portfolio of devices helped Roku top the category with 44% of viewers, according to eMarketer, and this is last year, and this came in above Amazon Fire TV, Google Chromecast, and Apple TV. And then, according to the company, nearly one in three smart TVs sold in the U.S. were Roku TVs in 2019. They also now sell sound systems, so this includes wireless speakers and a wireless soundbar, so their device portfolio is growing as well, and that's all well and good, but Wall Street has also turned its focus more heavily to its expanding digital advertising business, and the company is now able to attract digital advertisers through its Roku channel, which allows users who have a Roku device or Roku TV to watch free streaming TV and movies. And more importantly, the company sells advertising across its marketplace, which enables marketers to buy targeted ads and more. And we'll get into a little bit more of that later. The company also completed its purchase of demand-side platform DataXu back in November, and the deal is expected to help bolster its overall ad business, and it's set to grow as more advertisers start to spend more heavily across connected TVs. And now let's just dive into some of the 2019 numbers before we look at what's to come. So overall, total revenue climbed 52% for Roku to $1.13 billion. This topped 2018's 45% growth. And in fact, the company's top line growth rate has climbed significantly in recent years. So if we go back to 2017, the overall sales for 2017 climbed only 29% and only 25% in 2016. So 2019 was higher growth rates than the company had done in the last 3 years, topped 2018 easily, and really blew past 2017 and 2016. And then its ad-heavy platform revenue category climbed roughly 80% in 2019 to account for about 66% of sales, and that's up from making up about 56% of sales in 2018. And its growth rate remained at around 80% for that ad-heavy platform revenue. Overall, Roku also added 9.8 million active accounts in 2019 to reach 37 million. Its streaming hours climbed. It reached a record of 40 plus billion streaming hours. And its average revenue per user increased $5.19 to $23.14 per share. And maybe most importantly, Roku's monetized video ad impressions more than doubled again in 2019. So some impressive top line numbers for Roku, impressive growth, especially in its platform business, which is heavily based on ads. So what are some of the worries? Some of that is coming down to a little bit of a stretched valuation, but it's still heavily a growth stock. And then looking back to the fall, investors sold Roku stock pretty heavily in mid-September after Comcast announced that it would give its own streaming TV device to users of its broadband internet service for free. But the stock rebounded relatively quickly from that news, as it was pretty overblown to begin with. And the company is also making much more money outside of its devices business. And as we mentioned at the top, maybe more people and more investors are just worried that Roku is losing money. We said that it posted an adjusted loss in Q4, and that loss came after the company reported a positive earnings in Q4 of 2018. So they reported positive 5 cents per share last year and then swung to a loss of 13 cents per share this year, which no one really likes to see. This came on the back of higher marketing and research expenses as they try to expand their business, and that also includes trying to grow internationally. So looking ahead in terms of what to expect on the bottom line, the company is expected to report more losses. Roku's reported an adjusted loss of 52 cents per share in 2019, and that is expected to remain pretty much the exact same in 2020. Our estimates are calling for a 53 cents per share loss in 2020, so 1 cent greater loss than this year. And then looking ahead, that loss is then expected to shrink to just 17 cents per share in 2021. So heading in the right direction in terms of its bottom line. And then we should also note that the company laid out where it wants to make further investments in 2020 on both its earnings call and its earnings release. And we're going to now just kind of jump into that. So the company saying, quote, they want to invest incremental gross profit back into fortifying the following strategic area. So first, it's advertising TV. So this is now directly from them. TV advertising is in the early stages of moving to streaming, creating tremendous opportunity for Roku as a leading OTT advertising platform, and that is over the top. So second is the Roku channel. The Roku channel is a key driver of engagement and monetization for ourselves and our content partners. It includes a personalized experience with free ad-supported live and premium subscription content. And then third is Roku TV. saying, quote, similar to the evolution of smartphones, smart TV software is in the process of evolving from proprietary software stacks to licensed operating systems. We have developed the world's only purpose-built licensed TV OS that, when combined with our rich TV hardware, reference designs, can make TV brands more successful. And that just goes to the strength of their Roku smart TVs with their operating system built in, which have been widely successful for the company. And then fourth is international, saying, quote, we believe that around the globe, TV viewing will continue to transition to streaming TV. We have already launched Roku TV models in the US, Canada, Mexico, the UK, and Brazil. And we believe we are at the early stages of a global opportunity for Roku. And that is those four places they expect to continue to invest in heavily in 2020 and beyond. So now I want to make the relatively bullish case for Roku stock going forward. 2019 marked a milestone year for the world of advertising in the US. For the first time, digital ad spending exceeded traditional ad spending, and this is according to eMarketer. And then looking ahead, digital advertising is expected to surpass the 2/3 of total media spending by 2023. And with this in mind, last year, the company's growth in monetizable video ad impressions outpaced its streaming hour growth. And the company also noted that nearly 90% of AdAge's top 20 advertisers spent with Roku. So they're getting some big name advertisers to get on that platform. And this is still early on in the days of people trying to spend money on that streaming TV advertising space. And then this is a quote that I just thought was worth pointing out from Roku, saying, quote, by 2024, roughly half of all US TV households will have cut the cord or never had traditional pay TV. While streaming became mainstream in the last decade, it is still a minority of TV viewing. We have now entered the streaming decade when we believe consumers around the world will choose streaming as their primary way of TV viewing. So the company has been successful early on, and all of these companies like Netflix have been successful. And really, we're just starting to get into what Roku is calling the decade of streaming TV as more and more people cut the cord and move to sort of an only streaming model going forward. And now looking ahead, the company expects to reach $1.6 billion in revenue, which would mark about 42% year-over-year growth, with its platform segment revenue representing roughly 3/4 of its total revenue. Our estimates are calling for a little bit later growth than they're calling for. Our estimates are currently calling for about 39% top line growth, so a little bit less than what they're calling for, to reach about $1.56 billion. And then if we look ahead to 2021, we're calling for another 34% top line growth to $2.1 billion. And these would both mark a slowdown compared to 2019 and 2018, but still strong growth and come in well above what the company did in 2017 and 2016, as we touched on earlier. So that growth is still going to be there, and they're going to jump all the way to over $2 billion in 2021. In the end, Roku really appears to be sort of a solid bet on the streaming future, streaming TV future. It's a pure play, and really one of the only pure plays alongside Netflix of this industry. And Netflix is continuing to fade, and I could have a whole nother podcast about Netflix. I won't get into too much of the bearish case on Netflix, but Roku definitely is one of the only pure play stocks and one of maybe the better ones compared to Netflix at the moment. And especially this is coming as Apple and Disney and Comcast and AT&T and Amazon and Netflix all spend more and more on their streaming pushes. Disney and Apple are new to the space. Comcast is rolling out its Peacock offering. AT&T is rolling out HBO Max. Amazon continues to spend. Netflix continues to spend. It's the start of the streaming age, as Roku noted. We're just beginning 2020. The next decade will be the age of streaming, and they're set to benefit, Roku's set to benefit from all of these companies joining the space because people need a way to watch these. Roku has the devices, and then Roku also has the ability for marketers and advertisers in these companies to promote their own products. So for instance, the company noted that when Apple TV was preparing to launch and after they launched, that Disney Plus. So, but Apple could have done the same thing. It doesn't particularly matter, but it's because Apple TV has their own service. So Disney Plus was paying to promote their product on Roku's home screen. Other companies can do that, say Showtime or Hulu or HBO Now. Anybody can pay to have their product promoted. That's what they're paying for. They also just referenced a company, say Energizer Battery, was promoting their company. They kind of had a home page, big banner ad. So in general, the company is going to start making a lot of money from advertising, as we're really in the early days of marketers moving their spends to the streaming TV space. And overall, traditional ad spending is just, it's slowly dying. As we mentioned, digital ad spending is going to account for more than 2/3 by 2023, according to eMarketer. So Roku's a bet on streaming and the ability for streaming services to generate more revenue through advertising in general. And this is obviously, companies like Netflix don't have advertising on their shows, but a company like Netflix could pay Roku to advertise their service for you, and then various other ways of making money on the platform. And I'm going to close with just a quick look at the stock price and a little bit of what's going on to give people more of a sense of why it might be worth considering Roku at the moment. So the company went public back in September of 2017. Since then, the stock is up over 440%. This blows away Netflix, which is up 114% over that stretch. The stock price is also up 140% in the last year. That blows away the S&P 500 and Netflix, which is only up 7% over the last year. And despite this growth over the last year, the stock's actually down 6% in the last 6 months and 18% in the last 3 months, as it got really a little bit too bloated for Wall Street and investors liking. And this actually might set up a better buying opportunity for those who are high in Roku. The stock was trading at around $127 per share on Tuesday, and it's traded as high as $176 per share over the last year, which marks about a 27% downturn to those highs, which could give the stock obviously some room to run. And for those who pay a little bit more attention to the technical side, Roku stock recently slipped below its 50-day moving average after bouncing off its 200-day moving average, and it looks like it might test that 200-day range sometime soon. So it's certainly worth paying attention to Roku stock at the moment, as and see if it's able to bounce back from its current downturn as more investors maybe get past some of these valuation concerns and some of their earnings concerns, as they see this as a growth play for the streaming space, which is only going to expand not only in 2020, but beyond for the next 5, 10, who knows, 20 years. So Roku is definitely a stock worth considering, and we should note that it's currently a number 2 Zacks Rank buy, and it has a solid history of quarterly earnings beats, which includes its most recent quarterly results. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.